First Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17. Now in this that I declare unto you, this is Paul, I praise you not, verse 7, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. Notice that. He says you come together not for the better, but for the worse. That is how we just stand now as we gather and your spirit walks within us. As we gather and your spirit walks within us. As we gather and we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, notice those things. We will be blessed because we came. We will be blessed. Now, Paul is writing to the church here. Pay close attention to this thing. He says, this thing I'm going to tell you, I'm not praising you for it. He says, when you come together, rather than be better, you are worse. In other words, the reason for church, see, the reason why we gather in church and we come to church is to be better. That's what I'm saying. We will be blessed because we came to be better. Now, better means you have improved. Better means something has been added to you positively. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Last Sunday's service, were you better? Every church service should be an opportunity for you. It's not being among the people that came. It's not just marking the roster. That's why some folks will come to church late. They will come in with no Bible to church. That means they didn't expect to be better. Paul says, when you are not better, you are worse. So that there were people, they came together, rather than be better, they were worse. That's what it is. Because every church meeting is an opportunity to be better as a Christian. To be better. Look at what he says. Verse 18. For first of all, when we come together in the church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and I partly believe. Now, what do you mean division? The word division is from a word that means lack of unity. That's what it means. Something that is divided. In other words, the reason why people are not blessed in church meetings is because of division. Their minds are divided. What does that mean? They lose sight of the purpose of church. Some folks, as a first instance of their Christian life, will come to church with an attitude that is good to receive from God. But after a while, you know, that's usually, you say, familiarity breeds contempt. When you are used to something, oftentimes you abuse it. You abuse it, and very likely, you will not treat it with the same reverence and respect with which you held it. So it says that there are divisions. That is, other interests are coming to your heart. Other things take your attention during the church. Your mind isn't there. Your mind is on other things during the church. Praise the Lord. The question is, you get better after every church service. Before we go there, let's define what church is so that you understand what I'm saying. Because many times people cannot differentiate between a lecture, a society meeting, or gathering of friends and associates and family from church. The Bible teaches us what church is. And that's what we're going to look at. Paul says, when you come together in the church. That's verse 18, verse 11. In the church. What do you mean in the church? What is the church? When you come together. So the church is when we come together. When we come together. Who are the we that will come together? Not just anybody. But there is a we that will come together to make church. If that we is not there, it is not church. When you, are we? He has spoken to you. Who are we? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. For Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes our brother, verse 2, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called saints, with all every place, in every place, that call upon the name of our Lord Jesus, both there and out. So, church consists of people who have believed, not just any set of people, church means those who come together, who are believers in the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is church. Church refers to those who are sanctified by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. So church is not referring to any sort of gathering, but a gathering of people who are believed in God. That is where you find church. Listen now. That tells you it is not the building that makes church. It is those who are in the building that makes it church. You know, oftentimes we build a cathedral and we put Saints Community Church. Really, that's not Saints Community Church. Saints Community Church refers to the people that enter into that building, and what they do there is what we refer to as. That tells you that will be church. When we come together, that is church. I give you a couple of things. Ephesians chapter 2. The Bible says in verse 21, in whom all the building, Ephesians 2:21. Okay, I'll take 21, you'll take 22. Ready? In whom all the building fitly framed together growing up into an holy temple in the Lord. Verse 22. In whom you also have built it together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. So together, what are we? An habitation of God. Together. Don't forget the word together. That is, when we come together, we are an habitation of God, or for God, through the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Want us to take that together. 16. What's it all? Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? We are the temple. Matthew 18. Matthew 18, verse 20. Is that? We'll take that together too. What to go? Or where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. Say that again. One more. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I. One verse is there I am in the wisdom. So church refers to people in a place. Not the place where the people come, but the people that come into. That's what church is. Now, having said that, church therefore is a people, that is not a building. It's a people. However, the building constitutes church to us because the building is where we meet to have church. It will be out of place to say, I'm going to church. Yes, you are going amongst people, yes, but it's a people in a particular place that you're referring to. It's just like this. If you have a bottle of Coke, without the liquid content inside, I know when you buy the liquid content only. Without liquid content, you don't have Coke. But you see, without the bottle too, you don't have Coke. Am I right? I mean, something is a container of the content. The container and the content are both important. So, both the people and the gathering of the people and where they are gathered are very, very important and significant in our definition of church. This is the container of the gathering. However, without the container, there will be no gathering. We have to gather in a place. We are the church in a particular place. So it's very important that you know that here we are, in church. They will be in church. I'm in church. Why are you in church? Because you are gathered with certain people who have believed the gospel of Jesus in a place. So you have church. Now, We are all believers in the gospel. So this is true. Paul now says, when we have church, when we have church, people ought to get better every time that we have church. One of the key things that should be on your mind, and I want to say this, and please focus on this, is this. Church is the house of God. Did you hear that? Church is what? What makes his church is that God is dwelling in that garden. We're watching a concert of supposedly Christian concert. People were just jumping and dancing and, you know, they were just getting excited and, you know, the sense of freedom and making noise and all that. He said something that, you know, why people behave anyhow in Christian gatherings is because they don't think that God, because if God were to be there, if God is there and you know it, there's an attitude you are going to have. Now, under the Old Testament, they had a temple that represented the presence of God. They didn't have God like we do, but there was a respect they had. There was an attitude they had to approach that temple. Now, she said, if people knew, for instance, in that context, that God was here, and he said to them, I am God, that everyone will fall on their feet and say, God, you are free. But see, when we come to church, oftentimes people do not exactly think, or they are not convinced enough God truly is there. Because if they are convinced, there are certain things they will not do in the service. And because of certain things that they do in the service, they don't leave the service better, they leave worse. Are you following what I'm saying this morning? They don't leave any better, they leave worse. And that's because they don't recognize the presence of God in the midst of his church. They think God is somewhere else. God is nowhere else. God is in the church. God is in the church. Look at God is in the church. There is no greater reverence you will have for God in heaven than the one you have here now. This is the appreciation for God. Years back, I went to my father in the office and I went there to check up on him. You know, when I was going in and the security were asking me, hello, what do you want? I said, I want to see. So I said, what's your name? Now, my father bear the same name. So I mentioned my name. Sorry. Initially, the guy said, what do you want? Who do you want? He said, please put that in. He said, what's your name? But some people interrupted me when I said, I am. Check for another effect. Sorry, go in straight. Now, look at that. He was not aware that this was the son of his book, so he spoke in tongues. But when he was aware, he was respected. Now, the person that day, I got up, you know, even like that, it was not a father's man, it was an employee. So I got there and I was so free. So one fellow walked into, because they had this office, was a bit open, and then he was a GM sitting here. One fellow just walked in, very young man, and he just greeted everybody and all that. So he came to my father and said, good morning, sir. My father said, yeah, good morning, how are you? So as he walked, that's what he thinks. He said, he got the just boss at the subject presented of the shadow of the boss. I said, huh? He said, he went to meet him and said, good morning, sir. I was not looking up when you were passing. In other words, if you knew God was here, you know God is here. He may just be walking without mentioning his name yet. But when we are preaching like this, we are revealing him. He may be like that director who just walked in, didn't know him before. And he just talked to him, and he just talked to him, he just did it. And as he was coming, he came with blessings and gifts. But because you were not conscious of his presence, rather than be blessed, you went away once. Church is the house of God. Church is what? Church is the house of God. The question is, are you aware? Are you convinced that church, where two or three are gathered, God is in there? 1 Corinthians 5, where you are gathered together in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the power of our Lord Jesus Christ is with you. So when we are gathered like that, power is When we gather together, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. But like I said, oftentimes people just, because they don't know that's the new director. They don't know that it's it. They expect the new director to come in to where I am the new director. God will show up here and say, I am God. I showed you that when I was in the director of the simple way. When Elijah went to hear the voice of God, there was a thunder, God wasn't there, there was an earthquake, God wasn't there, there was fire, God wasn't there. And he was expecting God to come, you know, he saw the heaven there now, and then we hear, I am God. Some of you, I don't see anybody just say, it's God, it's me. I am God. Some of you who probably have not talked to your chefs, who talk it, say, blah, 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 blah. You say, I am God. But you know what he said, Elijah? He came in a still small voice. And God was there. But again, God reveals himself in some insignificant ways, unnoticeable ways, but pardon me. And we don't know, because, some folks, until they see a miracle, for instance, they don't believe that God is something. Some folks, until something, and that should naturally happen to an unbeliever. Not to you. 1 Corinthians 14:25. Paul says that when the unbeliever comes to know me, and the secrets of his heart is made manifest, he will acknowledge the God of the truth is among you, he will fall down on his face. That's for an unbeliever. He is a sign and a wonder to know that God is there. For us, children of God, the word of God is sufficient. Is that what I'm this morning? So church is the house of God, where God dwells. Say, God dwells here. Come on, say louder. Say, God dwells here. Say, God is here now. Say, God is here now. But Paul says, when we come together, you ought to be better. Why are people not better? They've been going to a church, some folks are touched. They are touched. Every month, Sunday morning, they have touch, they have a touch fee. It's touch. But have they gotten better after many years of doing? Are you worse? That's so cool. And now I was here, what does he have said? He said, church. Huh? But that fellow who is my neighbor attends the same church. How come you are like, I don't know, each person with his own personality? No. It's not personality. You are getting worse. But you are saying the same church. Some folks came for camp meeting, and they were here. Some folks came for camp meeting, they were there. We got testimonies from far away. But some folks came for camp meeting, and so forth. Some folks came for camp meeting, and they just came. So what happened in the meeting? This meeting, there was good singing. Pastor went to this from Friday, went to Black from Saturday. No, but they came to the same place. They came to the same place. The way I come is in, I said, the way I come is in, are you a company? I was born to win. That's why it's that company. You could have learned that on the internet. I was born to win. Is that company? Rather than go better, they go worse. Because the nature of us, you have to get those acts in the day. You either die or live. If you're not getting better, you are actually getting
better. I'm going to tell you,
I don't need to go to any church. I can meet, know my God in my room. That fellow is spiritually dumb and deaf and needs spiritual life support. You need spiritual life support. We need to be pumping you. Jesus. You know, once in 6 hours, Jesus. That's life support, spiritual life support. The next 2-3 days, you are spiritually lifeless. By the fourth day, first half of the day, you say, oh, thank the Holy Ghost. The question is, are you aware that God is here? If you were to meet God, what would be, as if God were to walk into your room, how would your attitude be? Now he's here. What is your attitude? I'm going to teach you 4 important attitudes to have in a church meeting. Are you ready? What did I call it? Come and say it after me. I think you should say louder than that.
One important attitude.
You must have in a church meeting 4 important attitudes. Because we just sang, knowing well that as our heart begins to worship, will be blessed. Are you blessed? Are you blessed?
Some folks do follow the church.
I call them enduring Christians. My friend goes to a church, we go together. My father goes to a church, we go together. My neighbor goes to a church, we go together. If the devil is going to tempt you, he's not going to tempt you together. Are you following what I'm saying? The devil is going to tempt you. He's not going to tempt you together. If you're going to be sick, you're going to be sick alone. Tell me when people cry at the burial ground. That is God. Don't get following him. Is your love not? Jesus said he would die for you. Satan loves us no matter. Why can't you just die? And no, not yet. Getting things first. One important attitude you must have in a church meeting. Number one. A number of people cannot come to church because they believe, or when they even come, they believe that maybe God's angry with them. Maybe God's not happy with them. I tell you how this will manifest in their character. No. Some of them will be unhappy about church. What am I going there to be? Nothing. Why have you not been in church in the last 6 days? They say, well, last 6 months, I've done too many bad things. I don't think that, my heart cannot take church now. Now, some can even go, they'll behave like rebels there. Because they don't believe that God has accepted them in church. They don't find acceptance in church. They feel fear amongst their neighbors, among their classmates, among people that, you know, they play football together. They feel fear. But when they come to church, they don't just feel like it's home. So the first attitude you must have is a righteousness consciousness. What did I say? A righteousness consciousness. Nothing should hinder you from coming into the presence of God in church. Nothing. Church is where God says, come, just as you are. Nothing. The first thing you must wear to service, to church meetings, is a righteousness consciousness. What is righteousness? Righteousness is the ability to stand before God without thinking about sin, without thinking that you are not accepted. Righteousness is the ability to stand before God without a sense of guilt or a consciousness of wrong. If you allow a sense of guilt and condemnation to becloud your mind, you will not enjoy church. Nobody qualifies to be in church. We are all qualified by the blood of God. See these people, see this church. That one is going to church. That one still going to church. Hey. What is it in church? People say, well, there's a fellow in your house who just got angry with you or even told a lie. And then the guy gets his Bible on a Sunday morning and he goes, you too? You are going to church? But do what? Tell you, church is not for perfect people. Church is for imperfect people who have been perfected by the word of God. So you must have this sense of righteousness. When you go to the house of God, you must have a sense of righteousness when you go to the house of God, because God is your Father. Are you following what I'm saying now? Romans chapter 5 verse 1. The Bible says, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Hallelujah. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Say, I have peace with God. Say again, I have peace with God. I've got peace with God. Now, that means God is not angry with you. You know, there was this senior in secondary school that was so hard. And every one of us so hard. But somehow along the line, he began to like me. He liked me so well. And then, one day, we went to town. We have been in boarding house, we call it Stola, so we call it he stole out. So we went to Tampa. And then we came back very late at night. We went to eat bread and suya. That's all. Bread and suya. But that was not so in the school. So we're coming back. You know, we just said to the boys, what are the boys? We froze there. My school park. So I just smiled. My classmate was going, yay! Because the guy was the head of school. Say yay! Like, yay! This is dead while you are alive. And I said, head of school, oh no, how are you now? He just took out of my chair. And we walked back to school. Because I was at peace with him. The other fellow, he was already shaking, but he carried my righteousness. We went to school together. You are at peace with God. God is at peace with you. Come to church. Be free with church. Be free to come to church. And you follow what I'm saying? How do I qualify? Jesus is my qualification in church. Nobody should be rejected from church. Nobody. Because we are all accepted by God. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 6. We have been accepted into the beloved. Nobody should be. No, sometimes, let me say this, we listen to some people, I will tell them, nobody should eat with this brother, not because he's not our brother, it's because we want to collect something. But you see, that does not deborn again the bed, or deborderizing in sin with God. Paul said, treat him and admonish him, not like an enemy. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Like a brother. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. You qualify. Tell everybody, you qualify. To be in church this morning, you qualify. You qualify. Let me show you some Leviticus. The book of Leviticus, chapter 11. Chapter 1. Leviticus, chapter 1. Are you there? Verse 13. Now, in the Old Testament, when they offer a sacrifice, sacrifices are offered to God so that God will accept it, accept their prayers, accept their demands. Now, in Leviticus chapter 1 verse 13, there was something used here, in verse 13, and he shall wash the inwards and the legs with water, and the priest shall bring it on and burn it upon the altar. It's a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire. Are you there? A sweet aroma unto the Lord. A sweet savor. A sweet aroma unto the Lord. That is something that is a sweet fragrance to God. Something that God picked. You know, God told Abraham, he said, that aroma of your worship has come to me. That is accepted. The minute that offering has a sweet fragrance, an acceptable aroma before God, then it's accepted. Now let me show you something. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 2. Are you there? We're going to take it together. And what the Lord sent for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Hallelujah. So who is our savor before God? Jesus. He is our aroma before God today. Hallelujah. You are accepted. Say again, you are accepted. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And because of Jesus, we have become a sweet aroma to God. God does not reject you. God does not detest you. You don't want to say, who is this? Who is this? This one more. Before you, where very neat people, why share everything? You get around them and you're not smelling well. They wear perfume all the time. And you who is this? He's taking his fellow away. Who? He just go. You're not accepted. Because of how you smell. You know what? You smell good to God. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Tells us. Verse 15. I'm going to read 14. Then you're going to read. So I'm going to read 14. You're going to read 15. Are you ready? 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and makes manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Verse 15 together. What are we?
were sweet savor of Christ. Hallelujah. Tia accepted. Tia. So when you come to church, you are accepted. It says, community, everyone is somebody. You are somebody in Christ. You may not have been accepted in your world. Some of us have been rejected in our communities. They think that we are bad children. They always think that, oh, that fellow, no, forget it. They want to choose people in your class. The class prefects, they don't choose you. They want to choose people in your school. They don't choose you. They want to, you know, even the government doesn't choose you. But God has chosen you. Hallelujah. Because of Jesus. See, I'm accepted. So no child of God should, let me say this. No child of God should have the cause to feel rejected. No child of God. Now imagine somebody says, I don't want to talk to you again. Who is your rank? No, who is your rank? Who did you help you? Please get out of my house. And the fellow is the so what is his post in that company? Maybe you go to the company and say, no, go to my office. Why are you in my office? Or what are you in my office? Why are you in my office? He says, what is his post? He says, the chief security supervisor has an elevated post up there. You walk away. Then you feel rejected and rejected. Then, as you're walking on the street, a fellow drove by with a car. Say, hello, come into my car. Say, well, so you come into my car. Get into the car. He takes you back to the same bank and takes you to the penthouse. So who is this man? He's the chairman, managing director of the bank. Then you stay in there in his office. He meets you. Just sit down on my chair. You sat there. Then as you were going down, you see the security guard saying, what are you doing here? Should you pay back? No. I'm accepted of God. See, if man rejects you, God, that men are seeking for, has accepted you. Never come to the house of God feeling unworthy. Nobody is worthy on his own. On his own. But in Christ Jesus we are worthy. Hallelujah. See, this is why people, you know, people want to give people communion, the communion bread. They scare people. So they say, no, he just committed a sin. Don't take the wine and don't take the bread. Oh, rubbish. That's nonsense. That's an ignorant pastor. The reason why you need the wine is because you have committed sin. Because the wine is symbolic of the blood that was shed for sins. The body is broken for your healing, your health, and your preservation. They were symbolic under the Passover. 1 Peter 2:24, the Bible says that by his stripes he bore our sins on his own body. Hallelujah. That by his stripes we are healed. Hallelujah. So when you just, this is the reason why some are sick. They are not sick because of the bread. They are not sick because of the wine. They are sick because of their unbelief in the blood and the body of Jesus. They are weak because of that. If you want to enjoy church, you must be a pro. Hallelujah. You know, assuming you were a tenant in a house, not even a tenant. How many of you squatted in school before? There are some dreams you cannot have when you are squatting. You are just sleeping. You're sleeping. When you say, where is your room? Your room. You don't say, I want to do bed day in the room. You have to tell everybody, sorry, can I welcome? Because you're not free. You cannot be there. If you're a tenant too, you can't just organize a party in your house. Now, why did you tell us now? We're sorry. There's some things you cannot do. You can't come in any time. You can say, in this place, you can't enter before after 10 o'clock. But the day you have your own house. If you like, we party there every day. Nobody will be stopped. You're walking easy. And there's a freedom when you have your own house. There's a way you enter. When you enter the house, you say, oh, yes, you knock. But when it is your house, if you knock, you don't say, why did you open the door? Imagine you have your house, you say, who is that? Don't you know my voice? That's how you answer, roughly. You know my voice? Ah, so is it. You know, my name is, I come from, that's your house. This is your house. Hallelujah. What a covenant. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16. The Bible says, let us therefore come boldly. Hallelujah. So I said, boldly. Into the throne of grace. That we may find grace. Receive grace and find help in time of need. So I'm bold. To come to church. So I said, what are you going to do? You going to church? Yeah. Because I'm accepted there. Praise God. So you must have a righteousness consciousness as you come to church. Number two, the attitude. The second attitude you must have when you're coming to church is reverence. You must have a reverential attitude. Reverence is respect. Respect. The number two way, if you're going to be blessed in a church service or church meeting, you must have an attitude of reverence. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 25. The Bible says, in verse 24, if all prophesy, and they come in one that believes not, or is a learner, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. 25 together, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 24. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so what? So what? He will worship God and report that God is in you of the truth. See that? Yeah. He will fall down on his face. That's respect. That God is in you of the truth. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 28. He says, we have received a kingdom that cannot be moved. Let us have grace, whereby we may serve God, accepted with reverence, and God be fair. Do you fear God in church? There are two kinds of fear. First John 4:18 tells us one kind of fear. Fear that brings to me. Ha! Fear that feel, you know, that, like I said about that senior, I knew he wouldn't do anything to me. I wasn't afraid that he was going to hurt me because we were close. But I wasn't going to disrespect him. Now, there's a fear where you're afraid the person may punish you. And that's why our most parents actually bring up their children. But there's fear of respect. I will say this because I respect that. I will do this because that is me. For instance, if you walk into a sitting room and you and your friend's place and they just joke, you are joking and watching a television program, you will say, ha ha ha! When you are at the end, did you see that? And then someone walks in gently. Ah, daddy, welcome. Really, you are just your seat. Yeah, now you've got to bring in respect. Not because you are afraid, you're saying, look at you like this, well, you don't want to fly. No, it's just because you respect the father of that fellow. If you are going to receive a church, you must have respect. You must have reverence. Even when you conduct yourself, you must have reverence. Reverence refers to respect, I said. Honor. It also refers to restraint. There are certain things you will not do out of respect. Now, how many of you greet your parents at home? You have parents. You don't say, hi. You don't do that. You don't come over to me. You want to greet your dad? You say, papi, ba. You don't do that. But you can see your friend and say, but you don't do that to God. I can do my boy here now. When you are in church, there are certain things you don't do because of respect for God. If you are going to receive from God, you've got to have respect. Reverence. That respect and reverence will show in the way you talk in church. For instance, in our services, we don't say, yes! We don't say some things in such community. You've got to talk with respect in church. You know, we preach and some say, yes, tell it, preach it, tell it like you feel it. No, church. This is church. You can get us a glory to God. Hallelujah. And what the word is I hear. But they go, oh, tell it. Have you feel your preacher? That's some disrespect. You talk with honor. Your lecturer, your HOD, or your junior in the university when you're in school, comes back and says, tell them what you're feeling! Because this is Paul's law. Oh, preach it, sir! He didn't say that.
He said, what was your magic number? You delete one, just one digit, that's your magic number. You delete it officially. So you become a past student. You know, they have lesser digits, and those who graduated before you. So you just take the digits out, so you have graduated. If you are doing this record, that is 1 year, now you're 5 years. Respect. With the place of Nigeria, you walk into a place. That's the first thing. What is that? You know what I'm saying? Ah, what's up, sir? How you doing? No. It's first thing, sir. You have respect in reverence. Because you are in the presence of an authority. You are in the presence of God. Tell people, say you are in the presence of God. Do you honor God? Do you go to receive from God? Because of honor God. Some people will not honor God. Until a big problem comes to their life. A problem they can't solve. They will be carrying them from place to place. Using all sorts of mechanisms and necromancy on their feet. Because they never revered God. When I was in school, we had this cadet. It was part of the discipline. It was cadet period 3 times a week. You go out to the sun. You don't see anything. Hey, sir! It was one of my mates who was a very comical character. He was not joking. You know, we were all on the same level. We were all laughing because it was a large, very large contingent of students. He didn't know that one of the commands were behind him. That day, he was born again. Wow. They said he should stay in that position for 5 hours. To every people, no, I mean, not that fellow, the next time you see that fellow, who told you like your brother, you see, I said, good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. Because you respect people that do harm to you more than God who loves you. You seem to love those who can treat us badly, who can hurt us, who can punish us more than God who loves us. I respect God. I respect the presence of God. You must respect the presence of God. God is here. Whether it's in your cell meetings or in your fellowship meetings, Jesus said, don't fear him who can take away your body. Fear him who can take your spirit, soul, and body and cast it to be here. Respect God. As you preach the word of God, pay attention. God is talking to you. As we worship God, so we sit down when we're praising God. Don't just sit down. Lack of respect. Lack of restraint. In the church, in the house of God. If you were, for instance, if you were before the commissioner of police, Lagos State, and then he says, yes, Mr. Man, he says, sir, I want to answer for, hold on, man. Hold on. Hello, Bobo, I did before who? You finish the call, he said, come to the house of God. Do you have respect for the presence of God in it? How do you talk? Do you worship? Do you sing with respect? That's how you can receive from God. Because what you don't respect, you cannot attract. You can't receive from someone you don't respect. God to be respectful in the house of God. Authority. We must have. In the house of God, is faith. We must have an attitude of faith to receive. We must have an attitude of faith to receive. What does it mean, an attitude of faith to speak? To receive. That means in every church service, you must be expected. You must be expected. When you are not expected, you don't receive it. Several years ago, I was invited to a camp meeting. As I began to go for that camp meeting, I missed my way. Instead of going direction, I think I missed it almost by 5 to 10 kilometers. So I dropped at the border to walk to the camp meeting there, and I began to walk, I began to go to prayer. So as I got to the grounds of that camp meeting, I was just about to drop my bags. Then the pastor gave a word of God. I didn't know that he couldn't preach the night before, so that happened. Actually started when I got there. So he got up, and then someone here, he mentioned where I was coming from, the name of the fellowship I was pastoring in. He said, come here, God wants to bless you. I was the first person he ministered to among thousands of people. Prophesied about my life and my ministry. That is why here today. When you don't expect, you don't receive. There will be other people there. Let me know, I'll tell you something. As the camp meeting went on, there were other people there. They were complaining throughout. Why is there to sleep in this place? He won my test for three people. What kind of man is just complaining? I told them, I said, perfect. We have 4 days. We will have another 4 days this year. When you go back home on Monday, you can buy a big mattress. Or four. Put your leg on one. Another one on one. You can sleep. But this one is an appointment with God. It's different from your house. No, stop that! Don't use church to hold me down. I don't mean you be let's fight for our life. I said, thank you, God bless you. Because I've been in the burning house before. Where they asked us to sleep on bare floor. And we've not complained to God. And we woke up the next day and we are still waking up today. How much more to serve God do we receive from him? So we will kill up at BRT 2 hours. We will be there. So let's go on. 2 hours, that's almost my tongue down. 2 hours, you're there. 2 hours, you're there. You enter church, you bring out the wristwatch. Is it a morning service or an afternoon service? What's going on? Is it good? Is it a morning afternoon service? No. Very complete. Next morning, you wouldn't have water to have a bath. No! I don't believe in this! I think we should walk home with the pastor and complain. I don't believe in this! I said, brethren, some of them are very sure they don't believe in baby and mother. They just want to make noise. Why don't you have your mother? The church service is more important than this one. No! No, I won't go! I won't go! But God will be there. Whether you go or not, God will be there. But you will see that I receive God. That's why I'm here. Do you have an attitude of faith to receive? Do you expect when you go to church? What do you expect? Mark 11:17. The Bible tells us, Jesus said, the house of God is a house of prayer for all nations. Mark 11:17. In other words, the house of God is where we make demands and we receive answers. That's what the house of God. Do you have an expectation? Do you come with a request? What is in your heart? What do you want God to do for you? The church is a house of requests and answers for all nations. The Bible tells us that when we come together, 1 Corinthians 14:26, it's for us to be edified. The word edified means to be better, to improve. I want to improve, I don't know about you. I want to get better in this service. Hallelujah. In Acts of the Apostles chapter 9, Peter got to a place, you could talk there, among the people of God. And the Bible tells us that there was a brother, he had to be one, whose name was Aeneas. Verse 33-34. And Peter said to him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ makes you whole. Arise, make your bed, and you arose immediately. In other words, healing can happen in church. You can be healed in church. You can be blessed in church. You can receive gifts of the Spirit in church. Timothy B. 1 Timothy 4:14. 2 Timothy 1. In verse 6 and 7, Timothy received in church. Acts 13, Paul received the confirmation of his call in church. You can be healed in church. Galatians 3:5, the miracles in church. Expect to receive the church. You must expect something in church. In Mark 5, Bible teaches us there was a woman with the issue of blood, verse 25, who had suffered many things of many physicians. Rather than go better, the Bible says she grew worse. When she heard of Jesus, she came in behind the press that she might touch his clothes. For she had said, if I may but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. The Bible says, straight away, the fountain of her blood seized and dried up. Hallelujah.
Jesus knew himself.
Turn around.
He said, who touched you?
The disciple said, Master, you've seen many people turn around. You always see who touched you.
Knowing the power got out of him, he said, someone touched me.
That was the woman knowing in herself what had happened. Came and told him all the truth. He said, woman, your faith has made you whole. It's your faith that receives from you the church. Your friend cannot receive from you. The pastor cannot receive from you. It's your faith that will receive from you. What do you believe God wants to be? The church. To conduct yourself in church, you've got to have an attitude of faith. And I told you, when I was teaching open situations, that see, you decide when, where, and how you get it. The woman with the issue of blood, Gabriel informed Jesus she was coming.
Jesus was going to Jairus' house.
He was going there on his own. He did not know. It was because the power came out of him that he knew someone had touched him. You decide how, where, the power of God is. In service today, some folks will be healed, some folks will be sick. Depending on their attitude in the church. Some folks will just be better Christians, will be more inspired to serve God. Some will just stay where they are. Really, they are going worse. The last one. The fourth attitude you must have in church. Order and decency. What did I say? Order and decency. You must be orderly in church. Order means to do things in a decent way. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace in the churches. Turn to 1 Corinthians 14, 40 with me. 1 Corinthians 14, 40. You there? Can we take it together? 1, 2, go. Say it again. Once more. When all things be done, peace. Anybody. The church will have to be decent. Your dressing has to be decent. The way you conduct yourself has to be decent. Tell me about the church. He said this. Someone is preaching and they are talking to someone else. That is this point. Someone is reading the prayer and you are talking to someone. Or you are writing something. That is disorder. Order means everybody is doing things together. Sometimes we're preaching. So he's speaking to his girlfriend or his wife. He's going to be indecent behavior in the church. You are going to receive from God and be a fair Christian after a church service. You ought to be decent. For the last week, come to church for me. You come to church decent. Conduct yourself. Come to church with the note, the right, the Bible to read from. How can you come to church without a Bible? What did you come to do? Decently and in order. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Once more, if I find long that thou wilt know how thou wast to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground. There's a way to behave yourself. How did you Yes, question and answers. Let's ask question. What are believers? How many of you will be at the prayer meeting on Tuesday? I don't know. That's all becoming of a Christian. Are you dressed to service? Are you dressed to service? Are you dressed to service? Don't go to church like you're going to watch a football game. Decent. And in order. Hallelujah. Be decent. Come here, brother. See, our fellow is decent. This is Jesus. Now, if I see this kind of fellow, then tells me, please, I want to take you to my church. And I'll say, wow, he looks serious like this. He's gone to church. What if his tie was like this? And his suit was like this? And his... I said, do you know that you're resting? He said, order.
For many years I wear my best attire to church. Many years. I want to look nice. Happy going to church. Dress well. Wake up early. Have your bath. Okay, so we will go to bad papers. Evil barrier versus dead. You wear something nice. You look at the mirror where you are going for barrier. When you are going to church, people are in the mirror. What are you wearing? Listen. Talk to church. Because when you get up in service, you want to really? It's a story you're a cow. Four times in one service. Sometimes you create a distraction for everybody. If you know you have issues with urinary issues, stay at the back. You can't hold it for more than 1 hour. Every time you get a hotel, every service you always will need. You can go with your party next time. Listen. Be decent. In a town hall, when you are going for an exam, what do you do? You wear everything we out. When I was having my bar exams, he told us, if you want to wear me, police will follow you to the place. So, do everything. Release the power before you. We knew how to conduct ourselves. Listen. Just listen. Talk, listen. Pressure says, brother, sit there. Is that your house? And I listen to the pastor here. No. Sit down there. Don't sit like you are among power drinkers. You sit like this. What are you doing? Like, what does he say? Be decent. Tell me what you think he said. Be decent. Let us be able to look at your teaching well.